So how do you respond when you're driving in your car and you hear a noise that doesn't sound right? How many ignore it? My children are here. They should be raising their hands right now. Pray it goes away. You talk yourself into scenarios that if I just keep driving, it'll fix itself. Or maybe you're like me, say, well, I should probably figure something out. So you go and you open the hood and you look at the engine. And I don't know what I'm doing. You know, it's like Seinfeld said, unless there's a big on-off switch that's off, I'm not going to know what to do. Or you could start asking, yeah, my son, my car's making a noise. It was kind of a clunk, and it's a scrape, and it grinds, and it's kind of from the front part over by that, and you try describing it, and say, well, it might be, and then they say a bunch of words you don't know. Or maybe for you, you just realize you got to bring it into the shop. Because here's the deal. When I was younger, I tended to ignore that kind of thing, but as I've gotten older, I've recognized you got to pay attention to what's going on under the hood. You got to maintain. A car's a big investment, and you just got to make sure you're taking care of it. How much more true is that about our soul? I mean, when was the last time you were driving through life and your soul started making some funny noises? It started clunking in ways. So what do I mean? All of a sudden, you had flashes of anxiety. All of a sudden, you had just a desire to be seen. All of a sudden, you had a desire to isolate. You maybe went through a season where you were feeling numb, or you went through a season where you found flashes of anger coming out for little things. You're even surprising yourself. Why am I angry about that? Well, that's noise under the hood. That's something that you got to pay attention to as you're driving through life. And if you're doing that, and your thing is, I'm just going to ignore it. You know what? I'm just going to keep driving, and it'll work itself out. I'm going to drive faster or harder. I don't have time for this. And if that's your philosophy, well, let me just say to you, good luck with the breakdown. Because it's just a matter of time. Listen now, till what's going on in the inside expresses itself on the outside. That is true, good or bad. We're going to see some of that from the wisdom and teaching of Jesus. So we're going to be asking a couple questions this fall, and one of the big questions we're going to be asking is this question here. How's your inner life? How's your inner life? Another way of asking this is how is your soul? What's going on the inside? Now, some of you are going, I just don't like looking on the inside. For some of you, that's an annoying thing because you think of yourself as a doer. You think of yourself as the kind of Teflon person who doesn't need to pay attention to that. That's where I was when I was young, before my breakdown. Some of you think, you know what? I don't want to go there because it's scary. It's scary because there's some darkness there. There's some pain there. Some things got to be healed. There's some patterns there that I recognize that I kind of began to keep in the dark. For some of you, there's a fear that if I go in there, I'll be exposed. Because here's one of the things that's really powerful about the inner life. In your inner life, you are truly you. It's the place you can't hide. You are naked before the Lord in your inner life, okay? And for some of you, say, if I go in there, I will find not only that there's not much to me, but I'm afraid if I go there, I'll find out I'm alone. That either there was nothing or there is nothing or I've been forsaken. And so it takes courage to have inner life. And very often what drives us to inner life eventually is pain, is struggle when the outer life starts breaking down and we just can't fake it anymore. Now, I've kind of painted kind of a grim picture of the inner life, that the inner life can be a place, you know, where we have things like, you know, compulsion and anxiety and paranoia and desire to isolate. But when inner life is a healthy thing, it also becomes a tower, a shelter, a haven. It becomes a place where you find peace. It is a place, no matter what's going on the outside, it becomes a place where you get perspective that helps you see things clearly so you live your outer life in a healthier way. It becomes a place where you experience deep healing, laughter, and joy. There is play in the inner life. And more than anything else, listen now, this is so important. Maybe you've been a Christian a long time, you've never understood this. The inner life is where you meet Jesus. It's where you live in the power of the love relationship with the Father and His Son. and the Holy Spirit. I've often imagined it in so many different ways as a beautiful cottage on a lake where I sit at times with Jesus, I sit at times with the Father, I sit at times with the Holy Spirit, and they love me and they accept me and they heal me and they make me powerful and changed and holy to live the outer life. And when I neglect my inner life, I do it to my peril. See, inner life is not just a good idea to help you get through the day. Inner life is absolutely crucial for you living and loving and being everything you are intended to be. And what you're headed for, if you ignore your inner life, is a crash, is a breakdown, is a time where you're going to really struggle to function in the outer life. And so this will affect every aspect of your life, and we'll see that in just a minute. Inner life is where we abide. Abide with the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. It is the realm of prayer and meditation and deep reflection. It is the place where the Word of God becomes alive, where we not only read it, we not only listen to it, but we come to understand it and we integrate it into our life. That is to say, the Word of God, the Bible says you taste it, you eat it, you consume it. And sometimes it's sweet like honey, sometimes it's bitter and it doesn't taste good at all. Sometimes it refreshes us, sometimes it can make us a little sick. But the Word of God comes in and we ingest it in such a way that it changes how we think. It changes how we feel about things. It changes how we interact with people. Inner life is something that is absolutely crucial if you are going to be a whole, healthy, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, relationally mature person. If you neglect your inner life, well, you're adrift. And I just have never seen someone who ignores their inner life who ends up in a good place. And so this idea of making an intentional effort to develop this inner life is so important. Another thing that's true about the inner life is the inner life can't be rushed. Sometimes I'll make an investment to live in the inner life, even throughout my day, and I'll do it, and it just won't feel great, or it'll be hard, or it'll feel kind of empty. And there are other times when I'll go to the inner life, and God will just show up. But here's the deal. You have to do it enough to create breath to have the experience. It's a little like raising kids. Raising kids, a lot of people think the answer to raising kids is quality time, our really valuable time. So we get with them every now and again, and we really invest and focus on them. I found that when I planned to really invest and focus on my kids, they hate it, I hate it. It's just terrible. But when I create lots of breath to be with my kids, magical things happen between the cracks of the life. And so you got to have margin, you got to have breath, you got to have balance, you got to have rhythm, you got to have something called Sabbath. We're going to talk here in a couple weeks about the importance of Sabbath. Sabbath is both a practice and a perspective, and you will not have a healthy inner life without a Sabbath. How big of a deal with it? Well, Jesus was radically committed to Sabbath. And how big of a deal with it? Well, honoring the Sabbath, establishing the Sabbath in your life is one of the 10 commandments. It's one of the 10 big things that God will say, hey, if you want a life that's going to lead to something that matters, well, you have to figure out how rest works in your life, in your mind, in your spirit, in your body, in your relationships. Everything was designed to rest. It's one of the greatest blessings, one of the greatest gifts of God, and our culture is completely intolerant to it. And so we're going to learn how to pray. We're going to learn how to meditate. We're going to learn how to intercede. We're going to learn how to reflect. And we're not going to do it like in a three-week series. This is a kind of a foundational series for our entire year. We're going to be working on inner life in a powerful way. And we're going to be coaching. We're going to be learning. We're going to be walking through it together. And again, ignoring your inner life is just flat dangerous. It'll ruin you, it'll ruin your mental condition, your spiritual condition, it'll mess up your relationships, it'll get you investing your life in things that don't matter, that are temporary. So if your thing is, I'm gonna just fake it till I make it, I'm gonna push till I break down, good luck with the breakdown. I mean, I've been there. Those of you who've been in the church for a while know about 8 years ago, I was the doer. I was the guy who was going, doing, accomplishing, succeeding, all the things going on. And if you looked at me, people said, wow, Paul has got it together. And on the outside, I was just Teflon. Nothing touched me. But inside, I started having rumblings. It would be things like flashes of anger. It'd be things like desire to isolate. It'd be paranoia. It'd be times of just wanting to escape. It would be compulsive behaviors that when no one was around, would own me and would control me. It would be just this kind of sense that I wasn't good enough at one moment, and then I was so good that no one appreciated me in the next moment. And whenever I wanted or felt like I should look inside, I just kept going. I just kept doing. And your inner life can become a very dark place. One of the things we're going to study this year is what happens when we're not okay. What happens when we're not in a healthy place? What's our back against the wall behavior? We're going to talk a little bit about what happens when we're just not good. Because when we're just not good, we tend to become not safe. And we're going to talk about that's one of the reasons why inner life is just so important. And so we're going to be asking the question, how's your inner life? Now, a second question we're going to be asking this year, I just want to let you know, this question. What part of my life has not been touched with the gospel? Okay, so this is why developing a healthy inner life is going to be so important. Because we believe in something called the gospel. The gospel is simply this. Jesus Christ really came to earth, God incarnate. He really lived a life, and his teaching, his example, his parables, they taught us the way we should be and live. But because we're not that way, he died on the cross for our sins to create redemption and just saved us from our sins. We believe he rose from the dead, and because he rose from the dead, we can live a resurrected life and we will be resurrected. And we believe Jesus Christ is coming back to establish his kingdom and to make all things right. That's the gospel. And when we believe that and we embrace that, we become part of the church, become children of God. That's the thing. But here's the thing I've discovered about the gospel is that the gospel doesn't touch my whole life all at once. Because there are parts of my life over the years that I've let the gospel not touch. That is to say, I keep that like the world. I keep it unredeemed. I keep it unsaved. So there's a sense, this is kind of deep theology, but we're going to go over it a lot this year, so hang on. There's a sense that I have been saved. The gospel has brought me salvation, and I'm a child of God. There is a sense that someday I'm going to be saved because I'm going to be transformed, and I'll be free from sin, and I'll be made new, and no more sorrow, no more tears. I was just worshiping on the way in the morning to a song that was all about that. But there's also this gooey in-between that I am in the process of being saved. And it's in the inner life that we come and Jesus says to us, you know, this season, we're going to work on that part of our life, on your life, that you haven't let the gospel touch. So maybe for you, you've let the gospel come into your life through salvation. And you said, okay, I'm accepted child of God. And maybe you understand your identity in Christ. But maybe your finances, you do that just like the world. You're selfish, you've got some greedy, you've got some covetousness, you haven't let Jesus touch it. Maybe for you, it's the way you do relationships hasn't been redeemed. So you are crass and rude. You're not a very nice person because the gospel hasn't touched that thing. See, we get the idea that when we accept Christ, our whole life is going to be beautiful, we're going to get all fixed up, but we have to see the gospel intentionally touched. For some of you, it's your view of sexuality. That you have just kind of gone on with the world, and what the world believes, that sex is about adults and their pleasure and their satisfaction, and that's what it's for. And as long as, you know, I'm in love, anything goes, and I don't need to worry about God's constraints on that. And you've not let the gospel touch that. For some of you, it could be your physical health. It could be your mental health. For some of us, in our inner world, in our place, we haven't listened now. Please listen. You haven't let the gospel touch your past pain. You haven't let it touch your story. And so your hurt in your inner life is leaking out to your outer life. And you have established patterns in your life you're not even aware of. And you won't become aware of them unless you go with the safety of the Holy Spirit into your inner life and let him shine life and redeem. And so the question we need to ask is the door to your inner life open or closed? Because some of you have shut it. You've locked it. It's dusty. You don't want to go there. You're just going to keep going. You're going to keep medicating. You're going to keep buying. You're going to keep, you know, presenting the outer image. But the true self inside is what Jesus, he said to the Pharisees, you guys are like whitewashed tombs. On the outside, you look white and beautiful, but inside you're rotting bones. There's more for us when we develop an inner life. Now let's take a look at this concept, being and doing. So doing is the outer life, being is the inner life. I'm gonna say more about this. I just wanna introduce you to it because you're gonna do some work on it this week. This idea that we can't be all being, we can't be all doing. There is a symbiotic relationship to this, and we're gonna look at that more. Now let's take a look at the scripture, okay? So this is Jesus, the word of God. So Jesus taught us in a lot of ways, right? He taught us in clear teaching. He taught us in parables, and he taught us in his example. And if you've never done a study of Jesus's inner life, it is profound. Jesus was more concerned about his inner life than his outer life. He was constantly going to a quiet place. He was constantly taking his disciples away. He was talking constantly about what was going on the inside. And this is one of the just the key concepts of Jesus that is worthy of study and meditation and thought, and to ask whether or not your life is in line with the wisdom of Jesus. So he says this. He says, no good tree. So one of the questions people ask in our culture is, what is good? Okay? We here at Jacob's Well believe it's good. We believe in good. We believe in absolute good. We believe that good can be known. You say, how do you define good? Is it your opinion? Is it your church? Is it your creed? Is it your moral statement? How can you define good? Well, this is how we define good. Good is anything in line with the nature and character of God. And more specifically for us, anything that is in line with the nature and character of God, specifically as revealed in Jesus Christ. So what is good? God is good. And in the inner life, being with Jesus, spending time with Jesus, is where I find out what is good and I align myself with what is good. If I spend time with what is good, I will become good. So many people have a view of Christianity that we are bad people who are sinful and we're saved. No matter what we're going to do, we're going to be bad. And all through eternity, Jesus is going to love us even though we're bad. That is incorrect. Now, it is true that without Christ, we are bad, we are sinful, we need him to save us. And he saves us positionally. He frees us from our sin. He sets us free. He makes us his children. But then he starts working a plan to not only positionally making us righteous, but to actually, in every aspect of our life, have us live the right way. He actually is not trying to make us bad people who get into heaven because he's good. He's actually trying to make us bad people who get into heaven because he's good, who then shows us how to be good. He's trying to make us good people from whom good things naturally flow, because inside, in the inner life, we have become good. And so Jesus's view, his value, his desire is for you to be changed from the inside out. Now watch this. For no good tree bears bad fruit. He says, what you are is what you are. Your true self will express itself. Now you can cover it up, you can smile, you can fool a lot of the people, but eventually, first with your words, then your actions and your attitudes and the way you treat people. And when no one's looking, when the chips are down, when your back's against the wall, who you are is gonna come out. So no good tree bears bad fruit. Again, does a bad tree bear good fruit? And so basically saying, don't live a disjunct life. Don't live a life where your Christianity is not integrated into who you are and how you live. He says, don't live the kind of life where there's parts of your life. For us who have been Christians for a long time, there are major parts of our life that the gospel has not touched. And part of this thing that the Bible calls sanctification or growing in salvation is pushing the gospel into all the nooks and crannies. So it changes how I think, how I act, how I treat people. It heals my mental health because I'm pushing the gospel and the implications and the truth of Jesus into every part of my life. So he says, you can't fake that. What you are on the inside is going to come out. So you're saying, well, you don't understand, Paul. I'm pretty broken on the inside. What am I supposed to do? Well, it all comes back down to this next verse. Watch this. He says, for each tree is known by its fruit. Eventually, you're going to produce something. The inner life produces what grows on the outer life, okay? And this is a mistake so many Christians make. They try to focus on fruit and say, you know what? I'm not producing good fruit. So the fruit I'm growing is the fruit of anger. I want to grow niceness. So I'm going to really try to be nice. And inside, I don't feel nice. I've got unmanaged things. I've got unmanaged pain. I'm not spending time with God. But I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be nice. And I'm angry again. Okay? Fruit is a product. It is produced by the tree. So what you have to do is you have to change what's on the inside. So each tree is known by its fruit. Look at this. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from bramble bushes. Now watch this. The good person, okay, who wants to be a good person? Don't you want to be a good person? Don't you want to be a good person from whom good things naturally flow? A just person, a noble person, a kind person, a righteous person. Listen, in Christ, you can be growing constantly towards becoming a good person. He says this, a good person, look at this, out of the good treasure of his heart. Okay, so what it is, it's about inner life. What are you treasuring in your heart? Now, another passage of scripture, this word treasure is interesting because it also can mean the good stored in your heart. In fact, another gospel translates it that way. And so the whole idea is a person's got this storehouse. They run a store, okay? And they got stuff for sale. Yourself, your metaphor is your life's the store. And that person comes in and says, I need this. Okay, I'll go see what I got in my storehouse. And they come and say, all I've got is rotten apples. This is what I can offer you. Because if you haven't stored good things, if you haven't treasured good things, if you haven't taken time in your inner life to build good things, you, listen now, you will have nothing to bring to the table. You can fake it for a while. You can bite down, power through. You can act like you're what you're trying to present in the image. But if you're not treasuring the right things in your heart, look at this, listen. You're gonna live a disjointed life. It's like the timing's off in your car. It's gonna be shaking all the time. In fact, this is what Jesus meant when he said, be perfect. Have you ever wondered, Jesus said, be perfect as I am perfect? And we say, I can't do that, I'm not gonna be perfect, because we think of perfect as living without mistake. What Jesus means by being perfect is living in harmony with your inner self and outer self. A better translation of the thought behind that word would actually be in harmony as I'm in harmony. Live in rhythm as I'm in rhythm. Live in balance as I'm in balance. Let who you are on the inside be authentic to who you are on the outside. And so what Jesus is calling us to is real authenticity, inner work that is deep and is abiding. And so the things you treasure in your heart produces good. And the evil person, we don't want to be an evil person. You know, just think, I mean, being that evil person, you're doing wrong, you're riddled with guilt, your stomach is sick, you're alone, you hurt people. You don't want to be the kind of person who hurts people. You want to be the different kind of person. The evil person out of his evil treasures. So this is a person who is storing up things in their storehouse that are not the things of God. They're the world's perspectives, their unhealthy behaviors, they're the things we're seeing on TV, they're the newscasts we watch, there's the people we're hanging out with. Because here's the deal. You say, well, Paul, I'm not storing anything. I just stay home, mind my own business. You're storing stuff. You're either storing righteousness through an intentional pattern, good things because you are working to put good things in your life, and your inner life specifically, or nasty things are being stored in there. And so inner life requires intentionality. It requires a plan, a process, a pattern, a rhythm, a balance. All of that requires Sabbath. See, we got work to do, folks, okay? To bring ourselves to the point that we're in a proper state to push the gospel into every nook and cranny of our life. Okay, so he says the evil person treasures evil and produces evil, okay? For out of the abundance of the heart, what you got in the storehouse, the mouth speaks. It starts with words, then it goes with actions, goes to motives. And it's amazing how often we focus on trying to do the right thing outside without taking any time at all for what's going on the inside. So, got another question for you, okay? We are going to begin some work here. I'm going to actually ask you to spend the next month doing this work with me, okay? And this is the question, okay? Some of you are overachievers. God bless you. You're going to want to do this today or over the week. This is something that has to stew. It has to marinate. If you want it to last, it's going to take an investment. Okay, if you care about your inner life, you're going to want to do this. So here's the question. The question is, what is your rule for living? So I want to introduce you to something called a rule for life. Now, what a terrible name, rule for life, because it says, okay, these are the rules I follow. That is not what's meant by rule of life. The word rule, this is an ancient practice. It goes back not only to the early church fathers, the earliest Christians, In essence, this is what Jesus did. If you look closely at Jesus' life, you'll see that every evening, morning, and noon, because they started their day, they believe the day started the evening before. So they started their day with rest and sleep. We start our day in the morning. They began, believe that day started at sunset. So evening, morning, and noon, Jesus went off to pray. That was his rule. That was his pattern. That was his standard. And you see it in the apostles. You see it in the Old Testament where in the Old Testament it says evening, morning, and noon, I'll cry up. There's another psalm that says seven times a day, I rise up and I go and reach and seek God. In the Middle Ages, there were entire orders of priests that had rules and just standards. And understand, this can become harsh and legalistic and unhealthy. When the point becomes the rule, it becomes unhealthy. Now here's what you need to understand about the word rule here. It comes from the Latin word means trellis. Now, what's a trellis? Trellis is one of those pretty wood things that we put up so a vine can grow, okay? All right, and so the whole idea is I planted a vine and it grows a little bit and then it stays in the dirt and it rots. And I'm sure not gonna get any fruit from this vine. So what do I need to do? I need to build something. Listen now. Oh, please listen. I need to build something that my vine can grow on. That's what a rule is. It's a pattern. It's a standard. It's a plan. And for some of you, you're the kind of person who's wired that you're going to do one, and you're going to do it for the next 20 years. And you're going to have the same peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day. That's just who you are. God bless you. I don't get you. But that's you. Some of you, I do a rule three times a year. Three times a year, and I present it to the overseers. Here's my plan. Here's what I'm going to read. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's my health. Here's my family. Here's my things. And this is the plan I have. Now, I've been doing it for a long time, and I don't expect you to get all crazy like I'm getting crazy. But you could make a rule over in the next month that would change the way you live in September. Listen, I kind of looked ahead in September. It's going to be crazy. Right? It's going to be busy. There's going to be pressure. There's going to be kids. It's just tons going on. I'm not sure where COVID's going to be. I'm not sure where politics. It's going to just be crazy. What if you had a place in your inner life where you could go and hide? Where you could go and get perspective and find peace? What if you were experiencing healing? What if something that owns you and torments you today would begin to lose its grip on you because of a healthy inner life? What if pain that you've been carrying for a long time, you found a plan with the Holy Spirit to go to that place through prayer? What if you learned to pray? Some of us have been Christians for 20 years and we never really have learned to pray. Well, this is what the rule for living in. It is the trellis. It is the plan that we build so that something alive, and what's alive? Our soul, our spirit, our relationship. All of this is born in the love relationship. So like legalistic religion will tell you, here's your trellis, here's your rule, follow these rules, you'll be okay. And many of us have tried that legalistic trap where the emphasis was on external performance of doing. And that's a mistake. It's a different perspective. A trellis is something where the relationship, the spiritual growth can grow on us. And so I'm going to be challenging you to do a rule for life. All this goes back to what our vision has been from the beginning. If you're new here, you don't recognize this. I don't have time to unpack it. But this is a place where we pay attention to our thirst. We search out spiritual questions. We seek God because we believe that knowing him will help us know what's important. We experience change. Depth is defined here as thinking, feeling, acting like Jesus. And so we are going to do work to be intentional, just like we did last year in renewal. We're going to be deepening it in a way we never have before by calling us as the church to be people who do a rule for life. So what's our next steps? First next steps is this, is I want you to work on a rule for life. There's two things we have for you. You can pick this up at one of the connection areas. This is a guide for the next month on how to begin to write a rule for life, okay? This is an overview, and what you're gonna do is you're gonna pick this up. You can go to the website as well, if you're listening online or if you've got your phones or whatever, and you go to the message page. You can get this on the app. This is a tool that you're gonna use, and you are gonna slowly, thoroughly go through this. You're gonna take some time, like maybe 4 or 5 times this week to go through this, think deeply. You're going to write some stuff. You're going to capture stuff. You're going to guide through it. And then you're going to set it aside and you're going to come back to it. You're going to invite the Holy Spirit into the process because we want to build something real and robust that's going to guide you from September all the way to Christmas. And it's going to be a learning experience of how to build a trellis that your spiritual life and your inner life can grow. And the other thing you're going to do is you're going to listen to our podcast. So Shua and I do a podcast called The School of Been Learning. The next 4 weeks, we are going to be talking you through what our rules of life look like. We're going to be talking through, you know, what you can do. We're going to be teaching. We're going to be coaching. And we're going to be showing you what it would look like to create a pattern, a rhythm in your life and how that whole thing works. So if you're intrigued and you want it, listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Pick this up. Listen to the podcast. Start getting work. We're going to do Rule for Life. One other thing I just want to remind you about is we got baptisms coming. Okay? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you've never been baptized by immersion, well, then that's a part of your life the gospel hasn't touched. And maybe that's one part of your life because that's related to a bigger issue like obedience. You see, you know the main reason I got baptized is I came to the conviction that the scriptures taught that Jesus commanded me to do it, and I wanted to be obedient to him in that little thing. And so I became baptized. It was a big deal for me. I grew up Catholic. I didn't understand it. First baptism I ever saw, was ever at, was my own. I had never seen one, but Jesus told me to do this. I'm going to do this. And that established a pattern of obedience, a pattern of submission that has served me really well in my life. And so maybe your deal is, you know what? I got to do this baptism thing. So I'm going to do the online class. Maybe that works for you. I'm going to come to the in-person class. Maybe if you got some kids, you need to come and do the online class for families. But the point is this, is that we're going to have Splash in just like a month. And we're going to have a celebration of new life. Already many people are coming to be baptized. But this is an opportunity for us to take steps to know and become like Christ. And so let me just challenge you, church. Speaking from a person who lived for a long time without a serious inner life, okay? It is horrible. It is hypocritical. It is disjunct. It is out of rhythm, out of balance, out of step. And what you are missing in a love relationship with Jesus, in an abiding, powerful relationship with the Holy Spirit, the pain you are carrying that Christ would heal, when you can create that place in your life, the power of prayer, the answers to prayer that you will see when you learn to intercede. I mean, this is what you could have, or you could just put your head down, keep the image management going, fake it till you make it, and like I say, good luck with the crash. Good luck with the breakdown. And we'll help you with the breakdown. Some of you may be been there, done that, doing it right now. Well, this is the time to bring the inner life. Maybe that's the reason God brought you to the end of yourself. Say, I can't do it anymore. I have no more energy. I just can't do it anymore. Well, this is your next step. Okay, let's pray. Father, you are God. And you call us to so much more than just a positional acceptance and salvation someday. You call us to have life and life in the full. You call us to a love relationship with your son. You call us to healing from our past. You want to push the gospel into every part of our life. Jesus, we declare and we believe that you are good. So doing things your way is good. It's wise. It's good. And so teach us to push the gospel into every aspect of our thinking, our behavior, our life. Just shape what we believe about sexuality and about money and about relationships and about prayer and about Bible study. Shape every part of our life that it would be in conformed with the image and the nature and the character of your son, Jesus. We say in this church that we want to know and become like Jesus. Make that more serious than it's ever been before. Lord Jesus, change us, and thank you that you are changing us. We love you. We want to be like you. We just ask you to do it now in your time. In Jesus' name, amen.